I'm just going to give a quick presentation about the family challenges and benefits. And sorry, something's happened here. Sorry, cancel it. Yeah. Yeah. So having heard from Father Amos how biology has a historical, geographical background to it, you're also going to hear a bit of chemistry when I put my chemistry hat on. The family is a place of security, comfort and peace to which we can return to in times of need to be renewed. Parents and grandparents act as our teachers, guides and companions in the way of God. In the same way as Father Amos and Bishop Paul mentioned, that our centres, our religious centres, are extensions of our homes. There we experience safety and peace, being amongst fellow believers. There we are inspired by our elders. We receive guidance and teaching from scholars, and guidance from the wise. There are places where they comfort us in sorrow and they challenge us to renew our striving in the way of God, to provide us with the blessings of scholars and friends whose value cannot be measured. I mean, I know, speaking from experience and that of my friends too, when we walk through the door of the Islamic Center, we are warmly welcomed and our children here feel at home. The scholars here have been inspirational, and also everybody else who's involved with organizing activities here. We cannot see God, and we cannot give any meaning to the interactive attributes of God, for example, love, mercy, and generosity, unless we have some human experience of those qualities too. We gain that experience within our families. They are spiritual training grounds, places in which we first experience these attributes and encounter God in the depths of our hearts. The family is a basic building block of society, and anything that undermines it, such as infidelity, betrayal of trust, destabilizes the whole of the human interactive network. There's an African tradition which says it takes a whole village to raise a child. Children are not just the responsibility of their parents, but the whole of society is responsible to provide facilities to enable child rearing to take place. This is both a financial and a social responsibility, creating an economic and social climate in which both partners feel pressured into working in order to generate sufficient income to meet the family budget. And this is a social injustice. Families are more just the nuclear family. They're more than just the husband and wife and children. We need to think about our extended families. Housing stocks need to reflect the need for three generations to live together. And we need sufficiently designed, affordable housing. Families need to be able to fulfill their duties to their elderly grandparents. And we cannot devalue our elders by developing a society where they are forced into residential care, or worse, even to consider euthanasia, which we both, as Christians and Muslims, do not permit. I want to talk to you how we as Christians and Muslim communities can work together for the improved care on social justice, and in particular, our work with the Care for the Elderly campaign. Both Reverend Maggie and her congregation, where I work in a Muslim school, our students from Al Sadiq and Al Zahra schools, and even the Islamic Center England, we're all members of London Citizens. And we have, there's a picture there of Reverend Maggie and our students reading a tweaked version of the 12 Days of Christmas to the elderly people in a care home, where we've lobbied MPs to improve the care by providing the care workers for a living wage. Families come in a variety of patterns, and our communities need to be flexible and understanding enough to allow for children and married for when they become young adults to welcome them to get married. We need to think of ways of preparing our young people to make wise choices in this selection. The prophet said, peace be upon him, whoever marries and visits his relatives for the sake of God, God shall attend to him by placing a crown like that of angels on his head. Marriages produce numerous benefits, the loving kindness of a wife and a husband, relief from loneliness, increase in one's daily sustenance. People often have this misconception that, you know, you need to have a house, you need to have an income in order to get married. But we actually have traditions which say when you get married, your sustenance will increase. Attaining God's satisfaction, having children. So marriage will make him equal in worth to angels with a crown. Whoever gets married has actually attained half of his religion. In the Islamic faith we have it's nifs al-iman, it's half of your faith. And the other faith is that they should be pious. And that leads me on to the next most important factor in choosing a spouse, is piety. You know, a woman and a husband must observe the divine matters and decrees when interacting with each other. However, what you tend to hear more of nowadays, that the only criteria people are looking is our looks. You know, just last week a colleague mentioned to me that she knew a lady of in the community who was looking for a spouse for her son. And she mentioned specifically that she did not want a religious girl, and not only that, a girl who doesn't even pray. You know, this situation has become unbelievable and is quite horrific. We shouldn't let the eyes be our judgment for marriage. We shouldn't let lust be the matchmaker for marriage. And we should not let the goal for our marriage be to get wealthy by either family. One must practice the ways of the pious ones, since happiness and the good of this world and the hereafter are subject to the following the examples of the lovers of God. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali al-Islam, he was the son-in-law and cousin of the Holy Prophet. He introduced the pious ones as follows. He said, they are continually subject to self-control from any involvement in corruption. They require little, and every good deed is expected from them. People feel safe and secure in their company. So both families should obey the ethics and avoid completely bad behavior. And if a conflict does occur between a husband and wife, they shouldn't dispute in front of the children. That's going to be giving them a bad role model and will be a major impact on their spirituality. So the husband and wife should respect one another. And the other factor is for us as adults to respect our parents. That can ensure that they will get the same respect when they get old. The main disputes happen when one tends to get angry, and one of the ways to try and refrain yourself is to try and think that we shouldn't be an oppressor, because when you lose your temper, you become like an oppressor. And God's mercy isn't on the oppressors. So Imam Sajjad, the fourth Imam of the Shia, said in one of the lines of his prayers, to adorn me with the robes of piety, which is a beautiful sentence that we should try and ask God to help us and practice piety in our lives. So nobility and good temper are the valuable and noble values of the Holy Prophet, and it was that reason which he was appointed being a prophet. I'm a student of the Hosa England, which is under the guidance of Dr. Shamali. I just wanted to say what a wonderful opportunity we have in this country of being able to learn from such an institution in England. And Dr. Shamali taught us that you know, he said in the scale on the Day of Judgment that the most valuable thing that will be heavier than anything else will be to have good nature, and that's better than anything. And I'll just quickly finish off now. So for Muslims, if they read the Quran in the morning, it's like spraying a scent of perfume. So this is where the chemistry comes in, you know, the diffusion of particles going through the house, affecting the children and the wives. It's very important, and perhaps, you know, other scriptures that you read too. And finally, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that the disciples asked Jesus Christ, whom they should associate with. And Jesus Christ replied, "The ones whose encounter shall remind you of God, whose speech shall add to your knowledge, and whose actions shall attract you to the hereafter." And in another tradition by Jesus Christ, where he passed by a grave in which a person there was being tortured, the next day he passed by the same grave and he noticed that that person was no longer being tortured. So he asked God for the reason, and the revelation came down that that man had had a good child who had reconstructed a road and had provided shelter for an orphan, and for the good deeds of his offspring we forgave him. So it's very important for us to not only have piety in ourselves, but to make our children pious, because that will help us in the hereafter. And I'll stop there, and we'll do a summary at the end after the workshops.